Our text for this morning's meditation is from Romans chapter 8. These words, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. So our text, Romans 8, verse 6. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is amazing what you can tell just by looking at a person. This quirky reality of life came up recently in a conversation I was having with someone who had just returned from the beautiful city of Vienna, Austria. For it seems while there, he was repeatedly accosted by what we know as gypsies. Gypsies who would come up to him and ask him for money. He took that as strange. For he'd be in a crowd surrounded by Austrians, people who, for all intents and purposes, looked just like him. Same height, same weight, same hair color, same skin color, and yet those gypsies would ignore every last Austrian in the crowd and come right up to him. He asked me why I thought that was. I said, haircut, glasses, clothing, shoes, bearing, and smile. Would have been obvious, even in Austria, he was an American. And being an American, as we all are, he was defined by our culture, by the clothing and shoes we can buy here in the United States, the haircuts we receive here, the way we learn to walk, our smiles. I mean, we can't get away from it. Growing up in a specific culture, our minds are set by that culture, and to a certain extent, they're defined by that culture. Of course, a trip to the mall, to the ball game, or just a walk down the street will put us into contact with people within our culture who are trying to define themselves differently, and they do so by changing their outward appearance. By wearing different clothing, different shoes, different hairstyles, and yes, they might even walk in a different way. Why? They want to show us that they are different somehow, different than the culture in which they live. There's nothing wrong with that. But then the question is raised as to how they came up with their specific way of presenting themselves to the culture. And we must say it's because of what they've been thinking, of what they've been reading or listening to or seeing, and putting all those things together, as pictures, images, comments, sounds, experiences, they've come up with how they, again, present themselves uniquely to the cultures. They are, in their outward appearance, we could say, they are what they think. They are what they think. Remember in the 1970s, perhaps it was the 1980s, that ad campaign that got us to think about what we were eating? Remember the slogan? Catch line? You are what you eat. There's some truth to that. Well, we could modify that slogan a bit and say simply that as we are what we eat, so we are what we think. We are what we think. That is what we end up setting our minds upon, ultimately. It shapes us into what we are, or at least how we present ourselves to the world, whether we realize it or not. Now, when it comes to whether or not we wear a hat, a Vikings jersey, a Packers jersey, tennis shoes, flip-flops, long hair, short hair, medium hair, crew cut, this really is not that significant. Variety is a spice of life. Thousands of types of flowers in the world, and they're all beautiful in their own way. But as our text for this morning points out, this variety can only go so far. There are limits. For if we set our minds on certain things, if we concentrate upon, if we focus in upon certain things in this life, the end result is death, an eternal death, an eternal existence of suffering apart from God who certainly doesn't want this to be so. On the other hand, if we set our minds upon other things, well, the outcome is exactly the opposite. The outcome is life. The outcome is peace. Of course, in the first instance, Holy Scripture uses the term flesh. as in those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, what's meant by flesh? What is meant is the desires, the wants, the needs of the body. And specifically, the sinful desires and wants and needs of the body. Now, usually when we talk about such sinful desires and wants and needs, we think about such things like what are known as the seven deadly sins. These are pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Now, to contextualize, setting our minds on the things of the flesh would be living daily being driven by pride, or being concerned chiefly with the accumulation of things, lusting after someone we cannot have, being saddened because others have the things we want, pursuing one culinary pleasure after another, seeking revenge against someone for something they have done to us, or simply even living life via the path of least resistance, avoiding work, any work, as a matter of principle. When we live each day controlled by, governed by, driven by one or three or all of these things, we're living according to the flesh. In other words, we're letting our bodies, our old Adams, take the driver's seat in our lives, and we're content just to go along for the ride. That's what's happening within us. We need to repent. That is, to demonstrate regret that this is happening, and then also commit ourselves from this moment on that we'll really try to take back the wheel from our flesh to get back into the driver's seat of our own lives, not only because of what we've been doing and thinking has been wrong, has been sinful, has been against the will of God, but because the only destination that our flesh drives us to ultimately is hell. Hell's the only place our flesh knows how to get to. Think about that. Only place it knows where to drive. But what can we do? What can we do? Turn to the one that God sent to us to rescue us from hell, and to rescue us from hell by conquering human flesh. Who's that? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who put on human flesh, who clothed himself with human flesh, and he did so, that is, God became man, Jesus became one of us, so that in conquering human flesh, he then could credit us with his success, and then also send his Spirit to us, so that we would not need to live with our minds controlled by the flesh, that is, set on the flesh, but on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What did Christ do but take our flesh and its deadly sinful desires? And what did he do? He nailed it to the cross. And truth be told, because our flesh has been nailed to the cross, it's stuck there. It's left there. That is, if we know Jesus Christ, if Christ has come to us through his word and now dwells in our heart, if Christ has sent his Spirit to us to work faith there and faith exists, if that is so, and it is, when our flesh would speak to us, tempting us with the idea, let me drive, let me drive, let me drive, we could say no. No. Have you noticed, flesh? You're still stuck to the cross. Being in Christ through faith in him, the Holy Spirit has been given to me so that I can drive. I can drive the right direction. I don't have to let you drive. My sins have been forgiven. I'm forgiven. God has forgiven me, and he continues to forgive me every single day. And in that my sins in Christ are forgiven daily, that means that ultimately you're not in charge, Mr. Flesh. You're not the driver of this car called me. And by the way, I don't know if anyone has ever told you this, Mr. Flesh, but you are a lousy driver. We could go on and on and on here, but the simple truth is that through the Word of God, we've been called out of the darkness, which is the world through which our flesh would drive us, a world of the flesh, which is ultimately nothing more than suffering and death, into the marvelous light, which is our life daily lived in the Spirit of Christ. A life of not of death, but of life. A life of peace. Now, granted, at first hearing, this might not be too appealing. This life of peace. For we want more, so it seems. So our flesh would suggest. Forgiveness of sin and the peace that comes with it just doesn't seem like it's enough for the here and now. It's kind of like when we're first starting off in marriage and we think that the answer to our problems is money, more money, Well, we have more money. Money to buy things, money to go places, money to fix things. There's something to that. A friend of mine, a millionaire, said to me right before I got married, "Paul, remember, two can't live as cheaply as what?" Well, as I found out, he was right. Two can't live as cheaply as one. And neither can eight. But of course, as we got older, the question becomes one increasingly of debt, doesn't it? As in, I can do without as long as I don't have any debt. In other words, we discover that not having any debt is actually more peaceful than having the things that we think we want. And so it is through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, we're at peace, not because we have everything we want, but because we have no debt. No spiritual debt. We owe nothing to God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has paid for all of our sins through his suffering and death on the cross. And in so doing, he did something else. He brought human flesh into submission for all who believe in him. And that means even though we might be harangued from time to time while we're driving through life, like someone is next to us in the car saying, "Slow down, speed up, turn here, go there," we need not listen. And in so doing, we can live and do live the life of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is life, which is peace. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.